Wealth Within offers a range of investment and educational services to help you secure your financial future. Whether you're an aspiring trader or simply want to increase the strength of your portfolio, Wealth Within are dedicated to maximising your investment returns.
Welcome to Talking Wealth. I'm Blake Sterling, analyst and assessor at Wealth Within. Today I thought I would do something a little bit different, a little bit out of the norm for Talking Wealth, and that is bring up and discuss some of the interesting facts that have come out of the latest Berkshire Hathaway annual general meeting over in the US. Now, for those who aren't really au fait with the whole Warren Buffett side of things, just to give you a bit of insight, the annual general share meeting, the AGM, for Berkshire Hathaway that's held over in Omaha is somewhat of an event, so to speak. It's generally regarded as what they call the Woodstock for capitalists. Now, believe it or not, around 20,000 or so people flock each year to hear Warren Buffett and his close offsider Charlie Munger speak at the AGM. Even more interestingly is that these 20,000 people will actually sit there for around 5 or so hours. This current meeting went for about 6 hours just to hear these legendary investors talk. And I mean, look, I know personally, I'd love to go over there and hear them speak. For 6 hours, it'd have to be pretty interesting. But here's just some of the interesting facts that have come out of the latest AGM. Now, for those who haven't kept up with the news about Berkshire Hathaway over the last few weeks, and for those who have, you may have heard of one of the close offsiders high up in the management side of Berkshire Hathaway, David Sokol, who was recently resigned over an insider trading scandal. Berkshire Hathaway recently bought out a company called Lubrizol, and it's been found out that David Sokol was actually trading and holding Lubrizol shares prior to Berkshire Hathaway taking an approach to actually take the company over. And David Sokol was actually recommending Berkshire Hathaway buy out the company. And again, unbeknownst to anyone else, he'd actually been holding these shares for quite some time and made quite a bit of money off the actual takeover from Berkshire Hathaway. But there's no real reason as to why he's done it. I mean, with the takeover deal, he made around $3 million or so on his shares. But this is a guy who, over the space of a year, in terms of his overall salary and bonuses and so forth, made about $20 million or so. So you've really got to weigh up exactly why he's done it. The exact reasons haven't really come out yet. Look, you know, it's more than likely because of greed, but it'd be interesting to get some sort of an idea as to really why he went about it in the way he did. And look, there's been a lot of comments in the paper, being the Financial Review and some of the other articles I've been reading about this particular subject. And look, a lot of commentators are saying how they believe Buffett hasn't really handled this situation well. He's made previous comments that if anyone ever brought the reputation of Berkshire Hathaway down, he'd be absolutely ruthless with regard to sacking those people or, you know, making sure these people really knew what was going on. I'd have to disagree with all these comments. I mean, here's a gentleman who, you know, and again, Buffett's a legendary investor who's built up a company from nothing, turned it into one of the most successful companies that we've ever known. He's an absolute investment legend. And I mean, geez, surely we can leave a bit of room for a couple of mistakes. And look, Buffett himself has maintained that, yes, he has made a mistake, that David Sokol did come to him and tell him that he actually held or was holding shares in Lubrizol, but didn't really get any idea as to what was going on from an insider trading perspective. So again, I think, look, you know, let's just let this one go. He's a guy who's done extraordinary things over his lifetime, and I still believe he deserves all the credit that he gets. And in my mind, his reputation hasn't come down one iota. Unfortunately, some of the people close to him, however, have perhaps tarnished Berkshire Hathaway a bit, but I don't believe that any of that lies on Warren Buffett at all. Now, we all know Warren Buffett's getting on a bit. He is 80 years old now, and there wasn't much from the AGM with regard to a succession plan again, and there is speculation on who's going to take over. Buffett, one of the closest offsiders he has is his son Howard. Buffett has made the comments, though, that the front runner was straight as an arrow, and his son Howard has also, whilst not coming out saying whether he was in the front runner or anything like that, has talked about certain offsiders that were close to the senior management side of things and who were also being looked at with regard to taking over Warren Buffett's role once he does decide to step aside. And Berkshire's also looking to perhaps undertake a bit of a buyback. And Buffett has maintained that if it is necessary, Berkshire Hathaway will definitely make a buyback on shares. And once again, shareholders shouldn't expect any dividends. Again, although a buyback might be possible, dividends really aren't on the agenda. And look, you know, unlike other companies, as we know, generally they'll increase dividends to sort of compensate and reward shareholders for their faith in the company, particularly those during the GFC. But Buffett and Charlie Munger are very confident that they can do much better things with shareholder cash than simply return it, and believe announcing a dividend would push the company's share price south. And they did make the comments that every dollar that's invested in Berkshire has created much more than a dollar in market value. And the Berkshire team have also revealed some of the foreign exchange dealings that they've been doing over the last 12 months or so. And they have taken a bit of a punt on the Australian dollar. And so it looks like Warren hasn't sort of let that opportunity pass with regard to the rising Aussie dollar, and admitted that they've made around $100 million US on investments in the Australian dollar. And there's also one other currency that they were trading, but Buffett didn't disclose the information as to which one it was. And in what I believe to be a stark contrast to most of the other commentators out there, Buffett is still backing the US, and basically made the comments that while inflation in the US is likely, he's still quite bullish on the economy over there. And interestingly made the comment that if he had the choice, he'd rather be born in the US today than in any other place at any other time in history. And then went on to say he didn't see how anybody can be other than enthused about the country, which I thought was a bit surprising given the economy really still seems to be in its darkest days. He also didn't believe that the country was going to default on any obligations with regard to its debt, and saying that basically the country itself wasn't a credit risk. And I suppose, look, in that regard, I mean, look, they are a growing country. They're obviously going to have a growing debt capacity. And Buffett made those same observations as well, and that basically there was no chance that they also won't increase the debt ceiling. So it looks like perhaps Buffett's got some insight there with regard to the US debt situation. Buffett's comments about US banks were also interesting, and he was obviously enthusiastic about the investments in his own banking side of things, obviously Wells and Fargo and the US Bancorp. He has said that he believes US banking profitability will be considerably less over the period ahead than it obviously was in the earlier part of the century. And a very important reason for that is because obviously the whole leverage side of things will be reduced. And he thinks that's a good thing for society. And obviously that reflects the US government coming into the fray and really looking to increase the regulation on banks. However, he also did say that the downside of things there is that for those banks who perhaps were using their leverage a little bit more intelligently and not really taking it to the high, really greedy levels that we saw from some of the banks, it perhaps may be a downside for those banks. And unfortunately, although a great investment company, the Berkshire is, haven't been able to avoid some of the disasters that have gone on recently, particularly in Australia, New Zealand and Japan. The company itself, with regard to its insurance operations, reported a US $821 million quarterly loss versus a $226 million gain in the previous period. Buffett has made the comments that it was probably the second worst quarter for the insurance industry itself in terms of disasters around the globe. So there's some interesting insights into the AGM for Berkshire Hathaway. Once again, thanks for listening. I'm Blake Sterling, and this has been Talking Wealth.
Talking Wealth was brought to you by Wealth Within. To learn how you too can maximise your investment returns, call 1300-SHARE-TRADE.